The scripture for today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them.
Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. From now until we get to Advent in December, our scripture readings are mainly going to come from Jesus' teachings on discipleship. These texts are the ones that invite us to imagine how we can follow Jesus in our daily lives. This morning's scripture reading reflects on the role of community in the life of faith. Jesus defines community as when two or three are gathered in his name. Community is the place where we live out our Christian discipleship. We know that we can't follow Jesus on our own. Community is the setting that God promises to move among us. But any time two or more are gathered, so too gathers conflict. Conflict occurs when two or more people disagree over the practices that shape common life, or the way that a particular community organizes itself. Because church community is so important to the life of faith, conflict must be addressed so that decisive sisters and brothers don't tear God's people apart. In today's reading, Jesus instructs his disciples how they are to confront brothers and sisters who are creating conflict in the community. If their behavior directly affects you, Jesus says, you are to confront them. You are to explain to them why their behavior is problematic. Now, the goal of this conversation, this confrontation, is to heal the broken relationship between the two of you, so that the two of you can continue to exist within the same community. It's not to shame the other person into conformity or to manipulate the other person into leaving the community. It is to stop the bad behavior so that the community can move forward. Hopefully, the conflict will end with the confrontation, but it doesn't always. If the confrontation does not yield changed behavior, then it's appropriate to involve one or two more people in the conflict. Again, the goal of this confrontation is to affirm the challenging sister or brother as a beloved member of the community. But now several people have observed that their behavior is prohibiting the community from moving forward. If these conversations do not yield repentance and changed behavior, it is now time to get the church leadership involved. Church leadership exists to create the space and conditions for forgiveness and restoration to flourish. And that can only happen when members of the leadership hold members accountable for behavior that violates community standards. Jesus says that it is only after exhausting every possibility for reconciliation that the church leadership is permitted to treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Now, this can get a little bit confusing, so I want to share with you an example of where I have witnessed confrontation go well in a community setting. So this past month at my gym, we've seen an influx of new members. Many people gained a little bit of weight during quarantine and are looking to kind of work that off. Now, August 2020 was a hot and humid month here in Pittsburgh. Many of our new members are just unused to how much they're going to sweat during a workout class. One of our new members, we'll call her Jessica, was coming to work out without putting deodorant on beforehand. The smell of her body odor got so bad that nobody wanted to be in the gym when she was there. So after class one day, one of my gym buddies went up to her and said, "Hey, great job in today's workout. Hey, I noticed that you sweat a lot during our workouts. You may need to put more deodorant on than you normally do so that you'll feel more comfortable during these hot summer months." To which Jessica said, "Oh, I don't wear deodorant. I hear it can cause breast cancer. My aunt had it, and I just don't want to take that chance." My buddy told me later that he was a little bit dumbfounded by her response, so he went to our coach for advice on how he should handle the situation. After class one day, Coach gathered us all into this like huddle, socially distanced huddle, to talk to us. And here is what he said. "Guys, I know it's really hot out right now, but all of us need to pay attention to our personal hygiene if we're going to continue to work out together indoors. If you are a really sweaty person, then you're going to need to shower before and after class. If you can't do that, come talk to me. My wife has started using this all-natural deodorant during the summer, and I will tell you, it has saved our marriage." Now, I'm not sure if Jessica talked to our coach or not, but I do know that after that conversation, we no longer had to worry about body odor in the gym. Now, I share this story because I think it's a good example of confrontation handled well. An athlete's body odor affects all other athletes trying to work out that day. It would have been really easy for us to talk about her behind her back instead of confronting her directly. Now, that approach to conflict resolution solves nothing. And what's worse is it takes a minor and solvable problem, the problem of body odor, and it turns it into a personal attack. So now the problem is that we hate her and we're mean and we don't want her to work out with us. Trust me when I say that it is a lot easier to address behavioral issues than it is a personal attack. The other thing that I appreciate about this example is it shows us how we might confront somebody on both an individual and a communal level. No one knew that Jessica wasn't wearing deodorant because she was scared of developing cancer until we talked to her. Once our coach knew that that was what the problem was, He could present a solution to the problem that would take into account her health concerns. I really admired the way that he pulled all of us together after class to say that, you know, personal hygiene is a problem that affects all of us, and we all need to be part of the solution. That way he didn't single out the person with the problematic behavior. And I have to say, after that talk, all of us have been more conscientious of our personal hygiene, especially in the summer. Now I have a little bit of a confession to make. I really do not enjoy confronting people. I particularly do not enjoy confronting people for the various ways that I see their sin inviting destruction to themselves, their families, or their communities. I get nervous. Who am I to tell someone how they should or should not live their lives? But every time that Matthew 18 makes its way into the lectionary, I'm reminded that love requires that we address the inevitable conflicts that will arise among us. Because when we confront people, what we are trying to say is that we love them so much, we cannot allow this destructive behavior to continue. Matthew 18 also reminds me that being a member of a church community comes with mutual responsibility for one another. The call to hear one another, to listen closely to one another, these are vital components to a community grounded in the way of Jesus. Community is easy when we're all getting along. Community is a witness to God at work in the world when we commit to doing life together despite our differences. This week, my challenge for us is for all of us to think about that difficult conversation we've been putting off and come up with a plan for having it. I have one such conversation that I need to have this week. And before that conversation, what I like to do is I like to sit down with a sheet of paper and do some brainstorming. And these are some of the things that I like to think about. So number one, I like to think about what is the issue. If you'll think back to the illustration that I just gave, the issue was not on body odor. The issue was that we were not communicating well with one another. And I think sometimes the more emotional an issue is, the more we can lose sight of what the issue is. So sometimes it's really helpful to write down in one or two sentences, what exactly is the issue here? The second thing that I reflect on is, what was my role in the issue? And this is hard. So in the illustration with body odor, it would be really easy for me to say, I don't have any role in this conflict. I put deodorant on before I go to the gym. But the more that I reflected on it, the more that I realized by not saying anything to this person, I was actually ensuring that the conflict continued on and on until somebody quit, which is not the outcome that we wanted. And finally, I want to think about what are like some concrete things that need to change for this relationship to move forward. So you could say, I need this person to put deodorant on for us to move forward. But then as I was thinking about it, I was like, no, the issue is not if she wears deodorant or not. The issue is the body odor. So how can we address this particular issue? And I find if I take the time before difficult conversations to jot down some notes, I'm actually able to be more present in the conversation because I'm listening to the other person. I'm not just spending the whole time thinking about what I'm going to say or how I'm going to respond. Friends, the point of Matthew 18 is not to create a three-step guide on how we are to address conflict in the church. The point is to remind us that as disciples of Jesus, we are to work for the reconciliation of those who are displaced, lost, or in need of forgiveness. We address the inevitable conflicts that arise so that we can be agents of Christ's reconciling love in the world. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.